Welcome to Speak Up, Speak Out, progressive voices from around the valley and around the nation, conversing about issues important to our community. Speak up. Welcome to Speak Up, Speak Out. I'm Jim, with Jenny assisting and Dave doing the tech work today. Usually our third Wednesday is devoted to the Iraq Vets Against the War. Today, instead, it's about their recent Winter Soldier held in Washington, D.C. Our guest today is Rena Patty, a resident of San Juan County, who for the last 2 years has served as the Washington State Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, a campaign for a U.S. Department of Peace. She's also been serving as the San Juan County Democrat State Committeewoman. Rena, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, yes. I'm very grateful to be here.
Rena, can you give us a brief explanation as to what Winter Soldier is, who was involved, what they did?
Yes. Winter Soldier 2008, let me start over there.
Okay.
Winter Soldier 2008 eyewitness accounts of the occupations, Iraq and Afghanistan, was a conference put on by veterans for veterans for the purpose of having veterans give testimony about their experiences in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there were about 500 people at this conference. About 200 were veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq, and the others were members of Vietnam Vets Against the War, Veterans for Peace, Military Families Speak Out, Gold Star Families, plus independent media producers.
Where did it happen?
Oh, it was in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
And when?
It was the second week of March.
Okay.
So about a month ago.
All right, about a month ago. Can you tell us why or how you got involved in Winter Soldier?
Oh, yes. I have been studying what's been happening in Iraq since before the war started. And, looking for firsthand accounts, looking for photographs, video evidence. I've read just every book I can get my hands on, stories from embedded reporters, unembedded reporters, books by Iraqi civilians, former military personnel, former embassy personnel, even some books by Iraqi ministers of parliament. And when you start looking from all these different perspectives and angles, for me, I get a sense of understanding about what's happening on the ground there that I have greater trust in when I see all that different stories coming together. And so when I heard that this was happening, I determined that I wanted to help. And so I signed up as a volunteer to work the registration for this event, and I also volunteered to raise some money to help put on the event.
How did you go about volunteering to participate in this?
How did I go about volunteering? When I heard that it was happening, I carefully watched the Iraq Vets Against the War website. And there was a very brief window when they opened it up to volunteers. And so
okay.
I signed up.
And what exactly did volunteering mean?
There was a lot of different options about what I could do there. So I volunteered to work at the registration desk, which was, just welcoming the participants as they arrived, making sure they had their rooming and their room assignments and their meal tickets and whatever they needed to settle in. And then I also had a time to sit in on about 20 hours of the testimony.
You were raising funds?
And what I found was so amazing about raising funds for this, I came up with a little bit more than $1,200 in 3 days. And most of that came from conversations with neighbors in the grocery store or at the post office. And people were so have so much concern about this and care so much that they would just pull out their checkbooks and write a check for Iraq Vets Against the War right there.
How did you talk them into doing that? Just a gentle conversation with your neighbor at the store, or
I've been doing political work for several years, and I think people have learned to trust me and know about my interests. And so when I would talk with people, I would just tell them where I was going and what I was doing and that I offered to raise some money. And it wasn't like talking them into it. I actually said, I don't want you to give money for this unless you really want to. And people were eager to donate.
So they shared your passion once they heard what you were up to.
Yes, yes, indeed.
It probably helped knowing that you personally were going and taking that on yourself. You said there were about 500 people there. Were they mostly veterans?
Like I said, it was a mix. There was about 200 of our younger generation of veterans and some active duty soldiers. And then the rest were really military family speak out, so people who have family members in the military or veterans from previous wars. There was Vietnam vets, one veteran from World War II, many members of Veterans for Peace.
Okay, can you share some of the stories you heard?
I can. And what came to me as you listen to the testimony, the testimony is available online. It's on the Iraq Vets Against the War website. That's at IVAW.org. And as you listen to the testimony, you know, each soldier tells his own stories, his own specific incidents. And as you listen to one testimony after another, what they've done is what you see are some broad patterns. And so there were speakers or veterans who served at the beginning of the war in Iraq to, in many different years, different deployments, different areas of the occupations, different countries, and you see some similar broad patterns throughout.
And so, what are those patterns?
Okay, one of the things that nearly all of them mentioned was their deep respect and appreciation for their fellow soldiers. Like, none of them wanted to say anything bad about the people that they were serving with. Another thing is that they said that when they signed up, it's an all-volunteer army, so they signed up with an intention to do good. They wanted money for college, job, training, and then they wanted to help people. What they described was what happens when people who have an intention of doing good are put into very, very difficult situations. And they talked about the ways that the military was used. And again, this is different years, different deployments. They described things as happening throughout their deployments. And like, one of the patterns was the house raids, the breaking into people's homes at 2, 3 in the morning, knocking down the door, getting everybody out of bed, separating the men from the women, and very often detaining the men, so putting sandbags over the heads of the men and taking them away. And the terror that was expressed by the women about why are you taking my sons. And one of the veterans said, "I don't speak Arabic, but I speak human," as he described that, the terror in a woman's voice. There's so many of these patterns. One of the things that is sitting, listening to the testimony, to see the nods of the heads of the other veterans as they were listening to the stories, often they said they had no idea whether the people that they were detaining were innocent civilians or not. And they had no idea what would happen to the people that they detained after they took them. Another thing that they described as kind of a broad pattern was the changing rules of engagement. Typical rules of engagement would include knowing or identifying your target and then determining hostile intent before firing. Yet as the situation became more dangerous, the rules of engagement would loosen up. And so there was the use of suppressive fire, like when they were fired upon, they would fire back. But they had big guns, so they would fire back with grenades. And this is happening in an urban area, so the grenades are going into civilian areas, in civilian homes and businesses. And, there's so many of these patterns. The firing on civilian vehicles in the roadways and at checkpoints. Oh, I'm not sure how I'm doing here.
You're doing fine. Let me just make a comment here. In the Nation magazine that from the April 4th edition, so just now came out, it mentions that there's a precondition, or there was a precondition for testimony, that the individuals testifying had to come up with corroborating evidence.
Right.
And
yeah,
it boggles one's mind to hear these stories, but they've actually got proof. It's not just one person say so.
Right. They did have a panel checking with other members of the testifiers' units to corroborate the information. And then if you have multiple veterans from multiple areas and multiple deployments giving the same pattern, it begins to hold together, just like looking at it from different perspectives.
Rena, was there a story or maybe a collection of stories or one of these patterns that you mentioned that struck you the most or had the quite an impact on you in your experience witnessing the Winter Soldier testimony?
There were certain things. The reason why I'm really glad that I went is that I really gained a sense of compassion for the veterans' experience, and in that, you know, that the need for belonging in one's unit and the camaraderie of being together, and then the adrenaline of, you know, the mortal danger and the numbness and rage that can happen to any good person when they're faced with so much death and destruction. Specific stories. There was one where one of the veterans talked about entering into a town, and somebody had gained some intelligence that the enemy fighters were using taxis for transportation. And so an order came to fire upon taxis, and another soldier responded to that order saying, "Did you say fire on taxis?" And the answer was affirmative. And the soldier said, "The city lit up as all the units fired on taxis." Another thing was the taking of photos. Like they described that people, when somebody had killed an Iraqi, that the soldiers would have their picture taken, and they would describe
them with the Iraqi
with
dead?
With the dead person.
Okay.
A couple of soldiers said this when they were asked if they wanted to have their picture taken. They said no, because it wasn't my kill. And looking back on it, they realized just how horrifying that was, but in the situation, it was part of the conditions of being part of the occupation.
So they were saying they didn't want to be in the picture because they personally hadn't made this kill, but if it were a different one that they had killed, then fine.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing that struck me was, you know, each person who spoke described like a turning point for them, and like having seen a lot of dead people, dead and dying people. Some of them spoke of like the first time that it really bothered them was when it was a U.S. soldier. And so that really led them to question the training that they had been given and the dehumanization of the enemy that was happening in their own mind, that they cared more about the death and the injury of an American soldier than they did of an Iraqi person.
Okay. We're going to take a very short break here, so Rena, stay with us, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Speak Up, Speak Out, a project of People for a Peaceable Planet in Skagit County, Washington State. And we're talking today with Rena Patty. She is a resident of San Juan County and is the state coordinator for Peace Alliance, which is a campaign for a U.S. Department of Peace. And we're talking about Winter Soldier that was held in Washington, D.C. about a month ago. Rena, can you tell us, was this picked up, the Winter Soldier testimony, was it picked up by mainstream media?
I have not seen any evidence that was picked up. There were a lot of independent media producers there, but the big media corporations, ABC, CNN, NBC, Fox News, were not there. They were invited, but they did not come.
Okay. And do you know if any of our representatives, Congress, if there's any effort to have them watch this testimony or hear this testimony?
One congressman did sign in at the registration. That was Dennis Kucinich, and he said that he would enter the testimony into the congressional record. I personally have asked our representative, Rick Larson, to look at the testimony and to invite the soldiers to speak before the Armed Services Committee. I didn't get a really positive, I got a supportive, but a hesitant response from his staff at the Bellingham office. They seemed to think that it might be hard to accomplish getting the veterans a hearing before the Armed Services Committee.
Rena, from what you heard of the testimony, were there big surprises? Was there anything that was a revelation? That, or was it pretty much what you kind of expected to hear?
Well, yeah, you know, none of it was particularly shocking for me. I mean, it was horrifying, and, you know, I felt a lot of sorrow for what I was hearing. But, you know, when you look at, you know, reports of tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands, and nobody's really keeping a good track of Iraqi deaths, but tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of Iraqis killed, it really, what the soldiers were describing to me really made sense. It really fit the pattern of the other study that I had done. And so it sounded very, very true to me.
And the study you're referring to is what you had done on your own, just checking out all you could from different resources.
Right, from online, from reading articles, from reading books, to listening to firsthand accounts. Yes.
How did you feel emotionally when it was all over?
You know, on my drive back from SeaTac, back to the Anacortes Ferry, I felt really somber and grim and especially quiet. And the reason why I felt quiet was because I really didn't want people listening to me. And here I am on the radio. But what I really wanted was for people to listen to the soldiers themselves, because I can talk about it, but I cannot do it justice speaking compared to the veterans speaking in their own voices. And so I really urge people to go to the IVAW.org website and listen for themselves.
Okay, let's repeat that website again, could you please?
Yes, that's IVAW.org. That stands for Iraq Vets Against the War.
Okay, and is there another website that people should be checking out?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's at the IVAW website, you can see video and hear the audio. At the website warcomeshome.org, you can hear the audio only.
Okay, so there's two websites, IVAW.org and warcomeshome.org. For
yes,
both of them you can get audio. The IVAW site, you can get the video as well.
Yes.
All right.
In conversations that you and I have had, I know that you actually take pains to engage people from outside of your own safe circle of comrades in discussing issues you feel strongly about but they may not agree with, especially when it regards issues about the peace alliance or about war and peace. So have you had occasion to discuss your experience at Winter Soldier with people who don't agree with your feelings about the Iraqi occupation? And if so, how did they respond?
Well, I haven't spoken as much as I would like to. And what I find is that people have their own ideas, and what I've heard very consistently, and I'm actually quite curious about this, is people say that you don't get the real story from the media, which I agree with, but then what they say is that the media does not show us the good stuff that is happening. And, you know, that might be true, but the media also doesn't show us the really, you know, every time I've looked deeper, it's much worse than what's portrayed on the mainstream media. And but there have been people who I had expected would have a different perspective than me, and I've actually been surprised at, you know, in some places I found resistance. There was one woman who said, she actually told me, I've been avoiding you because I don't want to hear what you might have to say. Mm. And I thought that was a very honest and courageous thing for her to tell me. And then there's other people who have been willing to look at a video that I've brought to them and actually consider it and open their understanding. I had one man tell me that war must be the human condition at its very worst. And then after watching a video of Fallujah, he said, that the American, or there was a woman on that video who said, Americans would not stand for this in their neighborhoods. And he said, she's exactly right. Americans wouldn't stand for this in their neighborhoods. So I have found some openness to discussing this. And it's always a challenge because I really care about maintaining a connection with people and finding where is the openness to hear. And so when I find that openness, then I'll share information with people.
Rena, was the video you were just talking about, Fallujah, was that something that was part of the testimony, or is that something else?
That was something that I found a year ago. It's called Caught in the Crossfire.
So. Okay.
Do you, in your study about the Iraq occupation from even before the war, I imagine you've read a fair amount about the Vietnam experience that this Winter Soldier was not exactly recreation of, but almost part two, if you will, from the Winter Soldier that the Vietnam vets did, I'm not sure the year, but many years ago. Do you think these kind of events make a difference?
The Winter Soldier Vietnam from the Vietnam War was in Detroit in 1971. And it was about 3 months after that Winter Soldier that the soldiers, the veterans were testifying before Congress. And I do think they make a difference because, you know, we say support our troops. And I think one of the things that we could do that would really be supportive is really listening to the stories when they come home. I think it's necessary, both for respect for them and what they've been through, and for their well-being to be heard in a really honest way about what they've experienced. So, yes, I do think it makes a difference.
Is there anything we can learn? You said it was a 3-month period of time from when the Winter Soldier that the Vietnam vets testified at to when they testified before Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything from that experience that could instruct how we respond now to maybe facilitating the same thing happening?
I'm not sure I caught the question.
What happened to allow the soldiers to testify to Congress after the Vietnam Winter Soldier?
You know, I don't know what happened after that in Vietnam. What I've done is gone to the the Armed Services Committee website and also to the Foreign Affairs Committee websites and look to see who serves on those committees. And that's, that directs my attention. So I've noticed that our Representative Rick Larson and also Adam Smith in the 9th Congressional District of Washington are both members of the Armed Services Committee. And so that's something that, that we could do is reach out to those representatives and ask them to reach out to their fellow committee members. Another thing that, that I heard from the veterans themselves, what they hope to get out of this is actually building the GI resistance movement. They're really working to build up IVAW chapters. They reach out to active duty soldiers as well as veterans on bases throughout the country. And so if you know anybody who is in the military or who has family members in the military, sharing the IVAW website with them would also be helpful.
Okay, Rena Patty, thank you very much for joining us today and sharing the information about Winter Soldier that was happening in Washington, D.C. about a month ago and sharing those personal experiences.
Do you want to give us those websites that you were mentioned before?
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. The Iraq Vets Against the War website is IVAW.org. And the other one is warcomeshome.org.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Rena.
Thanks, Rena. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Join us each week for Speak Up, Speak Out. Archives are at speakupspeakoutradio.org. Theme music courtesy of Kurt Crandall. Until next time, seek peace, work for justice, celebrate diversity, and support your neighbors.
This program was produced in the studios of KSVR-FM by the Speak Up, Speak Out Collective. Distribution was made possible in part by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.